that land. And this does not imply a fixed property of soil, but an annual tendency where he sowed, and the Bible said he reached 100-fold. In the time of Isaac, the rate of increase from 30 to 100 was possible. Mostly, though, it was about 60, and that was a very good crop. And only those who would get 100-fold were people that had great fertile soil. 60-fold is very good and not unusual for them in Palestine there, but 100-fold was rare. And the Lord, as you see, the Bible says, he began to bless him. And if you read before the scripture we read today, the Lord appeared unto him and said, listen, now, I don't want you to go down to Egypt now. We don't want to go that way. I want you to go back in where your daddy was, up in the Palestine area. And I want you to stay there. And when you stay there, I'm going to bless you. He says, I will give to you the seed of this country. He said, I will be with you. Verse 3, he said, I will bless you. I will... and I'll bless your seed, and I will go with you. I'll give you this country, and I'll perform an oath that I swore unto your daddy, Abraham, and it's going to be upon you. And so God's blessing upon him, and you see this really happening here very quickly. And the Bible says in verse 14, for he had possession of the flocks and possession of herd and a great store of servants. And then read the next few words. And the Philistines envied him. Isaac was enjoying amazing growth in a strange land. And he was a stranger. And he had flocks and herds. And it awakened the inhabitants of that land. And for today's standard of living, it may be odd that the statement that the digging of wells was very important. But in these times, the enterprise was great interest in rural affairs. When my great-grandfather came to America from Switzerland and came into the Ohio Valley and then found out that there was land available up in Michigan, he moved up in central Michigan. And when he was there, the first thing he did, he started to dig a well. And my dad told me that he said, if you don't have good water, you don't have anything. And my grandfather started to dig wells. He was a great well digger. And I know that at the farm, the old homestead, there's two wells there. There's one well that they use, and there's another well that he drilled down, dug down, and he capped it off by a great big plug of oak wood. And he said that well will outperform that well that we have 10 times. But he says, we'll use this one as long as this lasts. And then if we have to go to the other one, because he says, if you don't have water, you don't got nothing. During the time of Bible times, men knew, few men knew how to dig a well. And it was a big thing. And after they found water, usually a well was named after the digger. And at least he was able to name the well. And doing so confirmed a sort of ownership to the digger, especially in a country where water is very precious and where we're talking about here, the water is very precious. You can just imagine how scarce these wells were in primeval times when the state of society came to the well to fetch water. And it was a life-giving commodity. These wells became the meeting places. There are scenes of youthful maidens drawing water for domestic use. And, of course, if there's maidens there, there are going to be young men there too, amen. And young men would come and bring their cattle and herd and satisfy the longing of that water. You know, every Christian man and woman will pay the price for advantages and talents of property and high stations. And one man said he bids adieu to rest being public property. When a man becomes noted in his community and he's doing some things, Isaac became that. They were looking at him like everybody would turn and say, man, this guy's really something. He can build dig wells, and boy, his crops are 100-fold, and he's got herds, and he's got lots of servants, and man, this guy is really doing something. And people started looking up to it, and he had great possessions, and the Philistines envied him. We're told that Isaac met the envy with patience and just went and dug another well. I want to talk to you about digging wells today. The Philistines would not leave him alone. But Isaac's godly patience would wear them out, as godly patience will wear out the world. Endurance and meekness and godly gospel spirit, they're only true weapons against the world. Hey, friend, something times in life we just got to go dig another well in our life. Christianity has no additions. It is final. There's nothing beyond the statement of Jesus that said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Isaac, like Christ, conquered by meekness. It was there was shed abroad in his heart the deep peace with profound in the midst of the storm. And the world can't figure that out. I want to talk to you about that today. The world cannot figure us Christians out. The worldling deals with this. When somebody gets in his way, or somebody says something, he deals with violence, or he deals with a lawsuit. But our God said, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. No wonder the envious Philistines were afraid of this sojourning Isaac. He was patient, and he could find water. They were afraid of him because they thought that he was probably going to be settling there and acquiring right to the proper of that territory, because that's what happened when you dig a well. Hey, that's our well. Was there a well there before I came here? No. Did you have any place to get water before I came here? No. So that's my well. Because of this, the Philistines used most effectual means of making the abiding place very uncomfortable to him. What did they say? They stopped up the wells. They filled them with earth. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Did they need that water? I guess not. But they certainly, doggone certain, that they weren't going to let anybody else have it either. You ever meet people like that? You know, they just, here's something that people can use, but boy, they're going to, no, you can't do that. We're just, that's not the way we do stuff around here, you know. They stopped the wells. A strange thing happened, though. There in Genesis chapter 26, 17 through 22, we see Isaac, he leaves, he goes and digs another well. He leaves Gera and its suburbs and goes down and bodes in the valley. And he goes and digs out the stopped up old wells of his father, and he put the daddy's name, Abraham's name, back on those wells. Not only does he revive the old wells, but he digs new ones. For at the first well, the herd of Gera strove with him, claiming the water is their property. And by the way, if you read your Bible, it said springing water. That's like giant springs. It's bubbling up. It's tremendous. Once they found that aquifer, that water come pouring out of there, amen. And they said, no, that's ours. Get out of here. If Isaac wouldn't have dug that well, nobody ever known that water was there, right? Isaac yields. He goes and digs another well. Now, for most of us, we wouldn't let that lay. We would be drawn swords, and we would take action. And I guess what the enemy strived again, Isaac yields again. He moves on. He goes and digs another well. He moves again to the district region, farther away from these people, digs another well. And finally, guess what? They leave him alone. He calls this place Rehoboth, which means room. He says, for now the Lord hath made room for us. Isn't that sweet? That just sounds good. Not fighting, not pitching a fuss. He just taking it easy and going digging another well. All of us have found out or will find out that the world that we live in, our daily life, is turbulent, if not just plain stormy, with troubles that are brought on by other who we call mankind. There are many people in this world who are like the Philistines. They just can't stand seeing anyone else beside them get ahead in life. You've met them. You've seen them. When I think of that, I think of the old law that God gave the Israelites. It's the 10th commandment of the 10 commandments, and it says, thou shalt not covet. In fact, Moses wrote in Deuteronomy, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservants, or his maidservants, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. In fact, you go over to the New Testament, and Paul wrote this to the church at Rome, and he said in Romans chapter 13 and verse 9, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear witness, thou shalt not covet. And if any be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, isn't this exactly what Isaac did? He just, okay. When you read the scriptures of what the Philistines had done to him, they got so jealous of everything that he had, they wanted everything he had. Today in our lives, neighbors seem to be competing with us. And we didn't even join another team to go battle against them. Our inward feeling is, just leave me alone. You got what you got, I got what you got. We're happy with what you got, I'm happy with what I got. Who would say amen to that today? Yeah. I'm happy for you. And all that you have, good for you. I have no ill will towards you and what you have. Yay, team. God is good. Glad you got it. Good for you. Happy day. Years ago, my wife and I were going to meet a couple from our church, and we're going to have at a restaurant, and we got there a little before they did. After the restaurant, we were walking out, and my friend said to me, he says, hey, preacher, what do you think of that car? And it was a beauty. It was pinstripe. It was a racing. I mean, it looked like an IROC. It was just muscle. I mean, just muscle car. And I said, well, he said, what do you think of this car? And I said, well, they all take gas and oil. And I walked away. Little did I know that they had just bought it, and he wanted me to say something nice about it. My problem was I was so stinking broke. I'm driving an old Plymouth, and I was just happy that the thing would start for me, man. And I just couldn't look at that thing. I grew up with muscle cars back in Michigan. I mean, that was just the deal, but I just couldn't put myself to look at it, amen. For me, I have been this way. When my neighbor gets something new or a fellow employee acquires something new, I brag on it, compliment them on it. I am seriously, genuinely happy for them. When I see some of you people drive in a new car in the church or a brand new truck or whatever, I'm happy for you. I'm not kidding you. I am so thrilled for you. I'm happy for you. I'm glad you got it. You guys get new weapons. Good for you. Amen. I hope you buy another one. Amen. But you ladies in your pretty new dresses, God bless you. Happy day. Got new hairdos, fingernails, whatever you got, iPads, iPhones, whatever. I'm happy for you. The least of me does not say, wow, I wish I had that, because the Bible said, thou shalt not covet. I don't want that. Would you let a person drive up with a new vehicle or a new weapon or drive up with their new weapon, even Or drive by with their new weapon. Amen. That's even better, you know. Hope they don't shoot at it. Amen. Or a new motorcycle or a four-wheeler or whatever. And you hear, boy, are they lucky. It's not fair. I need one of those. I wish I had that. Hey, hey, hey. When I hear that, somebody say that maybe to me, I think that's time I need to go dig another well. I need to just move on. Jesus said that there are those who won't understand. Just leave them alone. Just go dig another well. I was talking to a young lady in another faraway state the other day, and she had gone through a very, very vicious divorce a couple years ago, and she was trying to start another life and having some real difficulties. In the first place, she didn't want the divorce. She wanted it reconciled, but he was a bullheaded and mean that he said, I'm going to divorce no matter what. And because of immorality, divorce, she met with a judge, and the judge told her that in that state that she lived in, there was no recourse. Whether she wanted the divorce or not, it was going to happen. Her heart was broken. It was over some immoral issues of him. And now that they're divorced, they both remarried. But after the couple years, her former will not leave her alone. He is so jealous of her. He's so mean-spirited. He leaves messages on her phone and also her official office phone at work. Vicious and defaming things. He's taken her to court 2 times now again. And she just does not know what to do. And I'm listening to her tell me these things, and I've known her for a while. And when I was speaking to her, I thought came to my mind. I said, do you remember the story back in Genesis where Isaac was very unjustly treated by people around him? Would you ever notice his action? Isaac just went on his way and dug another well. That's it. There's no reason. You don't know record of Isaac griping. You do not tell him. You do not hear him telling everybody in earshot how terrible that these people were and they were treating him. And you never heard him saying to people that whining and it wasn't fair. He did not complain. There's not a place in the Bible he complained about the sweat and the blisters and the hard work it took to dig those wells. Nope. He just dug another well. You take the attitude of Isaac, and the attitude that Isaac had, you will soon realize that your migraines are gone and your ulcers are gone and your nightmares will cease. There are some people that just seems like that have been placed on this earth to dig you and to put you down and say mean things about you and all this other junk. But you never heard old Isaac complaining. He manned up and dug another well. He picked up his pick and shovel and dug another well. He did it many times. I said, sweetheart, why don't you kill him with kindness? I stopped when I said, why don't you kill him? And then I said, with kindness. Why don't you be positive? Don't you get down to his level. You're not married to him anymore. You don't have anything to do with him anymore. Paul told the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I probably shouldn't have said it, but I did. I said, why don't you just show him how sweet you are and how stupid he was in breaking the covenant of your marriage. Show him what he's missing out on. Solomon said, Proverbs 24:22, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall, get it now, reward thee. So many of us are trying to keep notes of how many things people have said against us and that, and we can't keep up with this because now we got Facebook, and now we got Twitter, and we got all those other things that we can do to get back at certain people. Why don't you just leave it alone, amen? Why don't you just go dig another well? The Bible said that Isaac now goes over to Beersheba, and he went up in the night. And the night after his arrival, he has this dream, and he hears from God. And God says, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Isaac is again and again reminded of the relationship that his father stood to God. But I will tell you something that never happened until he went out and dug some more wells. That never happened. God did not bless him until the problem, when the time came that he started just moving on and leaving it alone and moving on. Sometimes we just need to move on. And if you're the person that is so vindictive and so mean and won't let things go, shame on you. You'll never get peace with your heart. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, the Yahweh. Fear not. And he said unto Abraham after his victory over the four kings, God told Abraham that. He says, listen, I'm the same God of that God to Isaac. He said, I with you, blessing thee, and multiply thy seed, the reassurance of three parts of promise involving all rest. Don't tell me Isaac had rest all those times that he was having to travel and people mad at him. And there's going to be a lot of people mad at you, whether you like it or not. Look, now he builds an altar. The first on record erected by Isaac. And this is what he called on the name of the Lord. He engaged in a solemn and public invocation of Yahweh. Oh God. And then the Bible says his tent there. It was a hallowed ground of his father Abraham. And now it is a hallowed ground of Isaac. Let me pull over and park for a moment. We praise God for men that have found their God. But you young men, listen to me now, you young men, and you young ladies, you need to find God also. You cannot live with your father's faith, or your mother's faith, or your grandfather's faith, or your grandmother's faith, or your uncle's faith, or your aunt's faith, or your brother's faith. You must find the faith in God in yourself. There has to come a time and a point in your life that you have to make God your God. The Bible says, Isaac digged a well and thereby took possession of the soil, at least for a time. That's what we're really doing here. We're just digging wells right now. It won't be long and we'll be in heaven. But right now, we've got to dig some wells. Right now, some of us got to move on with get that out of our heart and our life and that bitterness that just every time we hear their name or every time we hear something, it just makes us jump and it just makes us cringe and our stomach just turns and we get infuriated and we all of a sudden we say, why am I acting like that? Why do I feel that way? I'll tell you why. You haven't forgiven them. You say, but preacher, they're the one that did it to me. Well, then you talk to Jesus. When he's hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't know a person in that whole multitude of people at the crucifixion, Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive me. You read the book of Job, and his seven, those friends that sat for 7 days, never said a thing to that poor man that was had lost all of his children, lost all of his everything he had. For 7 days, they never said anything. And then when they started to say anything, probably been good if they never said anything in the first place. But they just preached at him and preached at him and preached at him, saying how bad he was and how he didn't trust God and how he wasn't doing the things of God and this, that. At the end of all, God said to those men, says, you have done wrong and you need to go and ask forgiveness to Job. And then God said to Job, Job, you need to forgive him. And the Bible says when Job prayed, when he prayed and asked God to forgive them, the Bible said that God rewarded him double of everything he ever had. I think there's a lot of people in churches today that just don't get it. David got it when he said, the battle is the Lord's. This is not my battle. The Bible said we fight not against flesh and blood, but by the powers that of this world. Sometimes we get so engrafted in what we are and what we have and what is ours, and it's that's mine and you can't have it and don't even look at it. And it, you know, we get so caught up in that junk. God have mercy. And the Christian church is full of people that want to sue and take advantage of everybody. Good night. There's enough in the Bible that tells you, listen, if somebody asks you to give you something, you give it to them and don't expect it back from them. You have a bad, that'll be a bad life for you. You start giving people stuff and you expect them to give it back. They won't give it back to you. Just give it. Consider it gone. And if you don't have it to give, then don't give it to them. I'm sorry, I can't do it. But if you have it, give it, and don't expect it, what, back. Well, a lot of families, a lot of moms and daddies have a lot of things taken better if they just gave it to the kids instead of, you know, you're going to get it back anyway, doggone it. My grandmother, I got to tell you, my grandma, my wife and I were, well, I'll tell you what, it's 47 years ago this week, I was getting married. And my grandmother said, son, she used to call me honey. Honey, are you doing okay? I said, yeah, I'm doing okay. She says, do you need a loan? I said, what do you mean? She says, could I give you $400? You can pay me back anytime you want. $400 back in 1966 was like $400 million. Especially a guy that's broke. And I said, well, she said, just a minute. She wrote her check. She said, now, don't you tell anybody else this. Don't you tell your cousin. Don't you tell your cousin. This is just between you and me, okay? I said, okay. A year later, I don't know about you, but the first year of marriage is not, you don't make a lot of money. That says it's easier for two to live than one. I don't think that's right. But anyway, unless she's got a real good job. I came home to Michigan, saw my grandma, and I came up and I said, Gaga, I know you gave me $400, but I'll pay it. Oh, honey, she said, let's just forget it. She put her little arm, she did little ease, put her little arm around, give me a old kiss around her cheek. I love you, boy. I forgive. I have no idea what that feels like. Some of you ought to do that to some of your kids. Some of you ought to just go dig another well. Some of you have been hurt because of divorce. Some of you have been hurt because of family things. Some of you have been hurt because, hey, just go dig another well. Leave it alone. I was going to say this. I don't know if I should or not. Would you let old farm boy give you a little bit of old farmer talk? Quit stirring the manure. Y'all understand what that means? There are so many people I hope you took that off that thing. There's so many people. They're always stirring things up. You're going to go home. Some of you guys are going to go home to family reunions. And there's always somebody going to stir something up. Let me tell you something. Go dig another well. Sorry you feel that way. I love you, and you can't change that because you can't make me not love you. And just go on. Life is so short. And we put so much on so much junk that we forget to be like Isaac. And he says, okay, if you're unhappy with us here, we'll just move and we'll go dig another well. And you dig enough wells, and your family's going to say, you know what? That don't fire them up anymore. It ain't fun to make them fight anymore. They don't fight anymore. So we'll just go, leave them alone. Well, you know who they are. They're just Christians. They don't know what fun is. They don't know this and that. You know, hey, you know what? Go dig in a well. It's the relationship that you have is between God and you is the most important relationship. But let me tell you something. Relationships are more important than things. And if you have something your sister wants, give it to her. So what? Give your brother whatever you want. Just give it to him. Don't fight over it. I tell you what, I saved my family. I saved a feud in my family when my daddy passed away, and there were some things that should have come to me, but they didn't come to me. I shut my mouth. I went and dug another well. You just listen to an old preacher tell you something. I wish you'd put it down in your little noggin and use it someday. Just go dig another well. Go dig another well. Try to fix all those relationships. If they don't fix, just go dig another well. Find some folks who love you. And go on with life. And quit your fussing. Shame on you, fussing. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Lord, I know, Lord, I just... like a little weak sermon, but Lord God, if we just put it to practice, it would mean so much. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you a couple questions today. Number one, are you saved? You say, what in the world is that? Are you born again? What do you mean? Are you born from above? This is what it means. Has there been a time in your life that you have personally looked up to God and said, God, I am a sinner. And I need a Savior. Has there been a time in your life that you said, I personally come to you, God, and ask you to forgive my sins, come into my heart? Has there been a time in your life that you've done that? Jesus said, you must be born again. Or you will not see heaven, or you will not enter into heaven. You won't even see it. There has to be a time in each one of our lives that we accept Christ. You've heard me say many times, when I'm 14 years old, that is when I bowed my head before a holy God and said, God, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Forgive my sins that come into my heart. Save me right here, right now, on this spot. You're ordained and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Hey, my friend, right there where you're sitting, you can pray a prayer. It goes like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now, right at this spot. Has there been a time in your life you've done that? If not, why don't you come? Let me show you from the Word of God how you can do it. Let's all stand. Everyone's standing. Pianist is playing. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. You're a day and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. There's not a day or a time that I can remember that I've ever humbled myself before a holy God and looked up to God and said, God, I am a sinner and I need Savior. I need a Savior. Why don't you come right now and say, preacher, today I want Jesus to be my Savior. Why don't you step out of that seat? Come right now. Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? You got a time? You got a place? You got a Bible verse that says right there, this is what the Bible said. I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. You need one of them. The Bible said He will write your name in heaven with indelible ink. The other day, and you say, preacher, I'm saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism. That's down in the water and up out of the water. I need to do that. Why don't you come at this time? The other day, and you say, preacher, I've been saved. But you know, I need to go dig another well. There's some things in my heart and my life I'm tired of it. Just seems like I can't live with it anymore. I need to dig another well. Hey, give it to Jesus. He takes good care of it. He'll take real good care of it. He'll clean it up. He'll get it going. I need to dig another well. Here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve at. Why don't you come at this time? Now, Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You, Lord, for what You've given to us. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that the Bible teaches us that we ought to go dig another well. Lord, please, I beg You today that You do a great work in our hearts and our lives. Bring us back tonight at 5 o'clock for Vacation Bible School meeting. Lord, that's so important. Lord, little boys, little girls going to get saved. Lord, folks are going to be able to get to lead people to Christ. Lord, be with our evening service tonight. Lord, bless us now as we serve You. Thank You for these visitors come. Would You bless them? Bless these faithful folks. Thank You, Lord, for these that are back. Lord, bless now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.